Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
The Bert Show.
Men and women are very different. This is not a new concept, but when it comes to moving on from a breakup, they definitely have very, very different tactics. And some may say one is right and one is not right in a way to move on.
As far as how they process a breakup?
In terms of how to process a breakup and how to move on.
I feel like men after a breakup will just go with the next girl because they don't want to process the emotions and they need a girl to make them feel good. Where when a girl's in a breakup, she's like, I'm getting new hair.
Yeah.
Whole new personality. New gym.
New wardrobe.
Going to an Ivy League school to get a new degree.
Might even move.
And I really do believe you always level up after these traumas.
100%.
Like, that's why I'm so pro failing. Like, failing makes you so much stronger.
One quick, easy way that I like to like see my progress in life is you go from who your first boyfriend ever was to then who was your next one. And then like you just keep
going.
Your
first boyfriend was your favorite. So what do we do?
We were just kids.
So that was from the Giggly Squad podcast. Sure. That's with Paige and Hannah Burner. And this is so funny to me because I'm listening to that and I'm like, oh my God, I'm not doing that with breakups, but I feel like I'm doing that with my tactics to try and get a boyfriend. Like men, when they want to either like just like lose weight or find a girlfriend, they're just like, let me just like tweak like one thing. Like, let me give up carbs. Let me give up soda. Let me give up one beer when I go out. And women, I feel like when we want to make a change in our life, whether that be moving on from a breakup or trying to get a boyfriend, we're like plotting on maps. We're creating daily lists of everything we need to do, what time to breathe, what time to eat, what days to wash our hair in order to try and make things work. And to me, that was the perfect example of how women try and move on from a relationship versus men.
So much easier being a guy in every single level.
Exactly.
It's not even close. All right, so this email here is, yeah, he's going to date you, but you better keep your body count at a certain number or below it.
Email reads, hey, Bert Show, this new guy I'm dating has me feeling like a hoe. I don't think I'm a hoe. Maybe he's just an a-hoe. I don't know.
There's a haiku.
It's ball.
It's kind of good. Recently, I started dating this guy and things seem to be going well. We've only been on a few dates, but there's definitely a connection. Bart,
there's the connection. Oh my God, there's the connection. We're so connected.
However, during one of our conversations, the topic of body count came up and he mentioned that he has a hard rule of never dating a woman who has slept with 10 or more men. Ooh. He made it clear that anything in the double digits is off limits for him. I was kind of floored by his admission. So I didn't really have a response at the moment. I just kind of nodded and smiled and left him to assume my number's below 10. Mm-hmm. I've definitely been with more than 10 men. The number is inconsequential, but it's over 10. Should I
just save that part where Kristen's saying that she's definitely been with more than 10 guys?
Do not say that. The email should be off limits when it comes to saving things.
Facts.
Should I continue to date him despite knowing that I've already broken his self-imposed rule? I mean, I guess he's entitled to have his preferences, though I don't necessarily agree with him. Or should I be upfront with him about my actual number and risk him ending things because of it? I value honesty in a relationship, but is body count really that big of a deal? What do you think I should do? Any advice would be greatly appreciated.
Go ahead, y'all.
What doesn't know won't hurt him. What he doesn't know will not hurt him. Because here's the thing.
What he don't know about any hoe won't hurt him.
Yeah. Our second haiku of the break. There's no reason to ruin what seems to be going very well. And I think that just goes to show how stupid the body count conversation is. Because you could tell him literally any number. You could tell him 8. You could tell him 80. And the only thing that's going to make him think of you differently is the 80. So why not either just say, I don't really feel like sharing, or just lie and then go and prove to him that there's no validity to the argument that number matters.
But I was going to say, is it not off-putting that he has this rule that he won't date women that have slept with over 10 men?
I think it's a prejudice. I think it's a prejudice that he needs to be taught a lesson on, is that your body count doesn't say anything about you. And here's the thing, I get that everyone has different sexual ethics, and I think in his mind, that's a way of adhering to it. But I think you honestly, I think to prove a point, should continue dating this guy. And when he realizes how wonderful you are, you eventually drop the bomb that you've been with, let's say 80 guys, and then it proves to him that his hard rule should be a little bit more soft.
Hard rule is soft.
I think she should move on. Honestly, I think you won't waste your time here, because you said that you value honesty in a relationship. So that means that you want to be honest, and you shouldn't have to lie to somebody to be with them anyway. So if that's his preference, for whatever reason that's his preference, I think he has the right to have it, the same way you have the right to sleep with as many people as you want. So if you're not for him, eventually y'all are going to come to that crossroads. You might as well just count your losses now.
Hey, it's none of his business anyway. It all happened before he came along, so I feel like it's none of his business. And secondly, he's going to be able to tell. I've had women say before that, oh, I've only slept with three guys.
Yeah.
They are way too good in bed to be only having three guys.
Big facts.
You're lying.
Yes, you
You're
are.
Lying. And I'm not going to ask. It's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
So many people trying to take control of the wedding and the plans. We all heard the phrase bridezilla, but then you got momzillas also, and here is where our problem starts this morning.
Hey, Burt Show. P1 here. I've heard so many stories of wedding drama, and I didn't think it could be that bad. I just got engaged exactly 1 week ago today after 10 years, and I totally understand that my parents are excited, but dang, my mom is already stressing me out. He and I had already decided that our wedding would be on a cruise to the Caribbean with immediately family members only. Parents, step-parents, siblings with their spouses and kids, a maid of honor, and a best man. Maybe 20 people tops. We're looking at dates in early summer of 2026 so that the three kids will all be graduated from high school. That's 2.5 years from now. Plus, we're paying for all of it, so we need time to save. We plan to have a reception afterwards for other family and friends, and my mom knew this, all caps. I specifically told her that we were keeping plans off social media so that anyone not invited on the cruise wouldn't be offended. My mom has already started announcing to other family members about the cruise, and they apparently need details. We can't even book a cruise this far in advance, so there aren't even any details to give yet. So I reminded her of the plan. Immediate family members only.
All right, stop right there, because in this email, there's a reenactment. Playing the part of the momzilla will be Kristen, and playing the part of her daughter will be Abby.
Well, when you know what cruise you're going on, you can't stop them from going if they buy their own rooms. What do I tell people when they expect an invitation?
But Mama, I can't send invitations for the cruise because I don't even have the dates yet. And even still, if they aren't in the 20 people we listed, they will get an invitation. But it will be for the reception afterward.
Okay, but why can't you do it in 2025? Cruise dates are available now. Who said it has to be 2026?
We did! We have to save money for it.
Do you know we could be dead by then?
They're just barely in their 60s, so great gaslighting, Mom. So I went on to explain again that this will be my wedding and that we will plan to have it as we see fit and that it isn't her job to just go around and invite whoever she wants.
When are we going to go wedding dress shopping? I don't know, Mom. I've been engaged for a week. Obviously, you just called to start an argument with me. Click.
And she hung up.
Well.
Am I the a-hole? Should I just let whoever pays their way show up? Obviously, my mom will have cruise information as soon as we have it booked for us, but should I just let this go or should I stand my ground? Already stressed, a frustrated fiance.
You got to stand your ground right?
Absolutely.
I'm not exactly sure what that looks like, but you shouldn't have to be hanging out with a whole bunch of people you didn't even invite. Moms, what's going on?
These type of situations always confuse me because, I mean, I'm as close as my mom as you can possibly be. I love my mother. But if she was doing this to me, I would have absolutely no problems asking her to take it back a bit and let me do my thing. This is not your wedding. This is mine. I love you, but I will handle it from here.
I already know that if I'm lucky enough to one day trick a man into loving me and I have a wedding, I know that my parents are going to be these people. And I'm I really do. And I think part of it is because I know my parents are going to be handling most of the costs for the wedding. And I think sometimes when you've got the money involved, you feel like you can invite whoever you want. And there is something weird about looking around and being like, okay, this is supposedly my day. Like you're the guest of honor and being like, I don't know who this rando is. Like, why do we invite all these people when I only wanted, you know, I wanted to curate the guest list so it could be a day that celebrates me. So you got to handle it with caution because you don't want to step on any toes with your family and ruin any relationships, you know, with your literal mom. But I think you got to put your foot down.
And if I were this bride to be, I would tell my mom the dates of the cruise and no other information.
Yep. That's what I was going
to
say.
Yeah. You don't get to know the cruise line. You don't get to know the port that you're exiting for. I'll handle all that. Obviously, tell the maid of honor and the best man, but otherwise it's a moratorium so she doesn't spill the beans. Mm-hmm.
That's a really, really, really great idea.
You can plan everything and then be like, you need to have these dates. Obviously, you have to tell them the dates. But then withhold all information and then just like take care of transportation for them to the airport. Like, because if you're paying for everything, then that's well within your right. And then it'll just be a surprise where they're flying to and what cruise you're going on.
Now, did she say in here that the parents were going to be paying for the wedding?
No.
Or are we just assuming that?
She's paying.
She's paying for the whole thing, right? So mom's is just feeling entitled because she's the mom.
Correct. And it's been 10 years and they're very excited.
Right. Okay. I don't know how you handle the momzillas in a case like this, but it feels to me like you're not going to change her. She is going to get her hands dirty in your wedding anyway. So withholding the info or anything that you can is the only thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what you have to do.
Yeah. You just got to set some boundaries and hope for the best.
Stand your ground.
All right. So if you have a younger sibling or if you have an older sibling, this next segment is for you because I came across this on Instagram and it's all about how older siblings tormented their younger siblings. And I also found a list on BuzzFeed of some of the things older siblings have done to their younger siblings. Oh, my God.
I can imagine.
It's so bad, but we're going to read it. So 1-855-BIRCHO, 855-237-8746. If you are the younger sibling and want to share what hell your older sibling put you through. So what caught my eye on Instagram from Bustle UK is just a woman with her photo and over top of it some copy. And it says, since everyone is talking about trauma caused by older sisters, my sister and I would imaginary play being at a Spice Girls concert. She played all 5 Spice Girls, and I was a fan who would try and rush the stage, and she would kick me off while performing. It's so harsh. All right, so then I did some digging to see if I found some other stuff that older siblings had done to younger siblings. And so some of these from the BuzzFeed list go, my older siblings didn't want to watch me while babysitting, so they tied me to a tree in our front yard.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's foul.
Mm-hmm. My older brother once convinced me to sit in a laundry basket. And then my older sister came running in with a second basket they put on top. Then they tied the two baskets together with socks and threw me down the stairs.
Okay, that's fair. God. That's all fair right there.
Once when I was little, my older sister wanted to play dog, in which I acted like a dog and she acted like my owner. So she put our actual dog's collar, which happened to be an invisible fence collar, on me. And she walked me across the boundary line. I still remember the feeling of getting shot.
That is dirty.
All right. I had a Barbie dream house when I was little, and my brother's G.I. Joes would regularly invade, loot, pillage, and behead their captives. I would find Barbie heads all over the house.
Wow.
My brother and I convinced our little sister that she had to eat the fortune and fortune cookies in order for it to come true. We kept it up for 5 years before we realized she was full of S.
So my brother is 8 years older than me. And so he left the house when he was 18. So I was like 10 when he left. But growing up, it was a living hell. He tried flushing my head down the toilet.
What?
He would throw me out of the house and lock me out of the house. And one time we were over at our cousin's house, and she is a few years younger than me, and she accidentally pooped her pants.
Aww.
And they took her underwear, my brother, and put it on this long stick and chased me through the woods with it. You would have thought the devil was after me. I don't think I've ever ran so fast in my life.
Probably not. All right. My older brother would kill spiders and tape their dead carcasses to my bedroom wall.
Okay. Oh, my God. Ew, serial killer vibes.
Let's see.
These are really evil.
My older sister used to charge me rent to live in our house. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Okay. We always thought we were special when our older brother decided to treat us to his brotherly allowance, but it wasn't until years later that we realized he just wanted to hurl coins at us from his third floor window. My older siblings told me that change was more valuable than bills because cash is just paper and coins are gold and silver, so then they take all my money. My older brothers used to chase me around the house with super soakers filled with toilet water.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Okay.
Uh-huh. And we got some people on the line. Hey, Cindy, welcome to the Burt Show. How did your older sibling torment you?
Hi. It wasn't my older sibling. It was my husband's. My husband is the oldest sibling. It's five of them, but it's three boys and two girls.
Mm-hmm.
And him and his next to the oldest brother would take the younger brother, and they made him take his clothes off, or they took his clothes off, and it was cold outside, and so they took him and put him in a tree and tied him up to that tree and left him there overnight with no clothes on.
Overnight?
Oh, my God. Okay, I think that might be abuse.
Yeah. So.
Have y'all heard about the knife running theory with siblings?
No,
There's always one sibling that would run after your siblings with knives, and there's always one running away. This is a Gen Z thing. Like, it's not just me, I swear. On TikTok, people are sharing which sibling they were, the one that chased after their sibling with knives or the one that was running away.
I'm trying to figure out which one I was.
I definitely had best friends growing up, and they had an older sibling who, used the knife to terrorize them. Didn't actually touch them with it, but
most over here, like,
this is insane.
Yeah, it was weird.
The Burt Show.
Loved everything about her. He loved her inside. He loved her outside. They got married. As soon as they got married, she changed her outside. She wants a reduction. He's like, what? What? This is not what I signed up for here. Kristen's got the email.
Hey there, Burt Show. I hope you're doing awesome. Podcast listener from Pennsylvania that found you guys on Facebook. I thought my dilemma would be right up your alley. So here we go. Be prepared for boob chat. I got married a little over a year ago. My now husband and I dated for 7 years, so we've been through quite a bit together prior to getting married. He's always known me to have large boobs. And by large boobs, I mean triple D's.
Oh, that's like damn.
You nailed it. Lately, I've been seriously considering getting a breast reduction. It's mostly for aesthetics, but it's also about physical comfort too. Carrying around these bad boys all day isn't always a picnic. But here's the kicker. My husband is a self-professed boob guy. He's always been pretty vocal about his love for my assets, and I can't help but wonder if getting a reduction would change things for him. I totally get that it's my body and my choice, but I can't help but worry he'll think I took advantage of him. By that, I mean I got him to marry me, and now I'm taking his boobs away. How do I balance my own comfort and happiness with his triple D joy? I'm hoping somebody else in the Burt Show community has been in a similar situation and could lend some guidance.
All right, 1-855-BURT-SHOW. You haven't complained enough about how uncomfortable your boobs are to this dude. Because if it was strictly aesthetic and you come to him, he's going to feel one way about it. But if you're in pain every single day, and Cassie has told us time and time again that big boobs are sort of a curse, man. I hurt her lower back every day. She's not here to speak for herself because she's at a podcast convention, but they hurt every single day. It's hard to find clothes that wear, but specifically, if my woman came to me and she said, this is the reason why I'm in pain every day, it is a no-brainer. Forget a F my feelings in a case like this. You go from D's to B's, I can live with it.
I completely agree. I don't think the aesthetics thing needs to even be brought up. I think if you go to them and you explain that you are, it's like you said, it's no picnic dealing with this all the time. As a man, it's nothing you can do but be understanding and accept that. It just is what it is at that point. You want your wife to be comfortable.
Yeah, well, it's a real medical ailment. So you have to think about how your husband would respond to you if you had any other pain going on. If you came to him and said, I have chronic migraines, he's going to throw Excedrin at you probably. If you've got lower back pain from something else that's not your boobs, he's going to suggest like a heating pad or something. So I think that if he's the good guy that you married, that I'm assuming you got into a relationship with, he's going to feel the exact same way about the boob situation. Just because it has to do with something a little more, spicy in other areas, I don't think that it's actually going to be a problem because it's something that's going to help you live your life better.
I have a friend whose wife got a breast reduction, and this was 14 years ago, and he's still upset about it.
Come on,
14
really?
Years?
How big of a reduction?
When I say like upset, like he still misses them to this day. Like he's a boob guy. And she did a reduction, and he was like, yeah, I still wish they were there.
How many letters are we talking?
I don't remember how much of a reduction it was. I mean, she had substantial boobs and went down to something that was just like, just normal, right? Mm-hmm. But he didn't want normal. He wanted big.
Mo wants to know how far down the alphabet we went.
Yeah.
From D to A.
I'm trying to understand his pain.
I mean, back me on this if you agree. Like, if a dude falls in love with you, right, and he's a boob guy, and you don't have boobs, that's not going to stop him from falling in love with you.
I've always felt that way. Like, I mean, yes, most of the men that I've known in my life, they have their preferences, of course, right, of what they would prefer. But when you meet your person or the woman that makes you feel that way, you don't care about that. It is what it is at that point. I'm in love with you, not necessarily what you have.
He might rather it be different, but he's not going to like be like, nah, man, I'm throwing the whole thing out just because you don't have big boobs or a big butt or a flat stomach. I know dudes are superficial, but we're not like that.
Not at that point. I don't think. Not when you meet your person. That doesn't matter at all.
Hey, Ginger, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show. Hi.
Hey.
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 Hey. What's up? What's going on?
So, I had this exact same thing happen. So, I had a size E.
Ooh.
Wow. And, yeah, it was a monster. he was all about my boobs, and he would brag about me. He's like, oh, I married her, because of this. And, well, I came to him, and I'm like, look, I need to get these handleable. So I got, and yeah, he was a little bit bummed out, but, I mean, after them, they're still boobs.
He's
they're
like, I'll handle them for you.
Yeah. Was there some kind of compromise there? Maybe get one done?
Oh, my God, get out of here. Just turn it into one big boob.
Then you only got back pain on one side of your body.
Right. Yeah, isn't that what marriage is all about, compromise?
Compromise, yes. And she would, definitely be compromising by having a lopsided chest. So,
I mean, you're only going to be with this guy for the rest of your life. Or if you reduce one side, you just double up on the other.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Kristen, good morning. You're on the Burt Show. Hi.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I had a double J cup, and yes, you heard that right, double J, and it was miserable, and so I went, had the consultations done, everything. My husband was not happy about it. He was thinking I would go to nothing. I did it anyway. Yeah. I didn't care that he was unhappy because I was in so much pain every day.
Yeah.
I went from the double J to a double D, and then he was fine afterwards because he realized, oh, now they're really nice and pretty, and they're still more than a handful for me.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Well, that's an embarrassment.
I never regret it.
That's an embarrassment of riches right there to go from JJ's from Jesus to damn.
Yep, there you go.
You're still in the game. It's all good.
And here is Sarah. Good morning, Sarah. You're on the Burt Show. Hi.
Hi. So, yes, personally, I do have a nice set, but my grandparents have been married 73, 74 years, and my grandmother refuses to get a reduction because her my grandfather likes them too much. And she has divots, like, I mean, half inch, three-quarter inch divots in her shoulders.
Good Lord. What? This is the first time I've ever asked this question. How big are your grandmother's boobs?
I am happy to say that I don't know that answer, but they're bigger than mine, and I have a triple D's. So,
okay.
Next time you're at grandma's house, you got to slip in that bedroom.
I know.
And slip in that lingerie drawer.
Now.
See what that bra size is, and report back to the Burt Show so we know how big your grandma's.
We won't sleep till we know.
All right, so he is trapped in the weeds, or maybe it's a she, in that friend zone. And is it even possible to get out? I feel like we get this email quite a bit. Kristen's got it.
All right, so she goes, I could really use some advice about a situation that's been on my mind. Recently, a friend from college asked me out on a date. I was pretty taken aback because I've never seen him in that way. Honestly, I was so surprised that I ignored his text. I just didn't know how to respond without hurting his feelings or making things awkward between us. After a few days, he asked me if I got his message. I didn't want to lie, so I told him I saw it, but thought it was a mistake. I know it was a bit of a cop-out, but I panicked.
You panicked.
The truth is, I'm not attracted to him at all, and I don't have any desire to go out with him. Here's where it gets tricky. We have a lot of mutual friends, and there's this party coming up this weekend, and we're both going to attend. I'm feeling super anxious about seeing him there. I don't want things to be awkward or tense, especially since it's a party with all of our mutual friends. I've been running through different scenarios in my head, trying to figure out the best way to handle this. On one hand, I could try to avoid him altogether, but I know that's not really practical and might just make things more uncomfortable. On the other hand, I could try to talk to him and clear the air, but I'm not sure what to say or how to approach the conversation without making him feel bad. Do you think I should bring it up at the party or maybe try to talk to him beforehand? I don't want to hurt his feelings more than I already might have, but I also don't want to give him any false hope. Thanks for your help, Macy.
Well, I just feel like being a nice person isn't going to give him any kind of false hope. Like, I feel like you've already done what you could. You were honest in that you just didn't want to go out with him, which I feel like was the right thing to do so that you don't get his hopes up even more. Like, that's what's actually going to give him hope, if you actually go out with him and give him a reason to think there's a chance. But if you've shot him down and you're just going to be friendly and nice and normal like you typically would be at a party, I kind of feel like there's really nothing wrong with that. Like, if he's going to assume that something more is going to come out of it because you're a friend, then that's on him and not you.
If you can't bring it to yourself to tell him the truth because you feel like it's going to make things awkward or it's going to, you know, mess up the party, I would probably just tell him that I'm talking to someone. Just tell him that you're interested in someone else, and, you know, there's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be that complicated. Mm. I think you've said this before. Just a mature conversation from time to time really helps out.
Yeah, well, I don't really understand what happened to just, you know, being honest with your feelings. Like, why have we made things more complicated than they need to be?
Nah.
Was that a hand up, Cassie? That was not. Okay, it's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now. Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you. They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. Forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
So we got to get Jen on the phone here. She's about to hook up a friend with one of her exes, and she's not going to tell her that this used to be the ex. All right, is it shady or not? Hey, Jen, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
All right, do I have that right?
Yeah. So my friend Rachel and I have been friends for about a year now, and she just seems to have the worst luck dating. Like, I don't know what it is, but she can't seem to attract good men. And I have a friend that I dated for about 6 months, And this was like 2 years ago. Like it's long done and over. But I just think they would be amazing together. Like really, like I just think they're so compatible. And he and I didn't break up for like any sort of like weird reasons. Like he didn't like cheat on me. It was like, it was just like we weren't meant to be together. So I think they would, I just think they would hit it off. But I don't know if I tell her that before I introduce them or after. And I feel like if I tell her before, it's going to influence her decision. Like she's just not even going to like enter into it wholeheartedly. Like I just feel like she's not going to give him a chance if she knows that he and I dated.
Well, you're a really good friend. Let me ask the question, because there has to be other Burt Show listeners that have gone through this where you're like, you know what? He wasn't good for me, but I'll set my friend up with this guy who's a really, really great guy. And did you tell him in advance or not? 1-855-BURT-SHOW. What would you do here, Abby?
For me, I think you're actually being a really good friend by not giving the details of the fact that you guys dated, because then you give her the opportunity to go in with a clean slate and be able to make her own judgment about whether or not she actually likes this guy. Because if she goes in with the context of like, well, you know, Jen dated him and I think Jen's really pretty and I don't know if I feel as pretty as Jen. Is he comparing me to her? I think you're really doing her a favor by letting her go in with an open mind.
I feel like you're hiding stuff from me. Like if you're gonna set me up with somebody and you dated him and you were intimate with him and you hide that from me, that's gonna have a lasting effect on our friendship.
Yeah, I don't know if it's different with men and women, but I know for me, I would be upset. I would feel the way if you kept this information from me, knowing that it happened and told me after. It would make me feel like you literally set me up.
And you have so few things, really, to break the ice with and talk about on that first date, because it's so awkward anyway, in a lot of cases, that chances are pretty good it's going to come up, right? Like he might go, so this is a little, is this kind of weird? And she's going to go, what are you talking about?
What a horrible first date, yeah, then. Just you talking about Jen?
Yeah. I feel like, I know you, I do commend you. I think your intentions are true. And that you think they're going to be a good match. But I think you have to be forthcoming with this information and let her make the decision, right? You've known her for a year, which isn't that long of a time when you think about it. And I know you think you know what's best for her. But yeah, be like, I have this great guy, XYZ, but I do need to tell you, he and I dated. But I really do think you all would be a good match.
I would take this news bad either way, because even if I did start to like her and I didn't have that information at first and then you give it to me after, that would make me just as upset that you withheld it from me.
Yeah, but if I'm the friend, though, there's always somebody that wants to set you up with whoever. And the first thing that always comes in the back of my mind is, okay, but like, why don't you want him? You know what I mean? Like, what's wrong with him? Like, if he's so great and he's so wonderful, then why don't you date him?
Because he could be great, but just not great for you, right? I think that's the cliche.
Yeah, but I mean, still.
You would still look at it like that, right?
Yeah, it's still be like,
good
what's
enough
wrong?
For you.
What's good enough wrong for with me.
Him? That would be one of my first questions. If you told me that you all, like you had dated, I'd be like, well, why did you all break up?
Yeah.
Here's Alexis.
Like, I wouldn't want to like influence her decision there. Like, and also like, I think he would be okay with like, let's let sleeping dogs lie. What's in the past is in the past. Like, I don't think he feels the need to really share that information either. But like, then it becomes like this thing where like, do you ever tell that person? Because I do have a male friend where like, yeah, we drunkenly hooked up one night and now he's married and his wife absolutely has no idea that happened. Mm.
Alexis, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show. You got something to share?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you.
Good. So my best friend, I dated this one guy for about a month or so, and like you guys said, like what was wrong with him? And we just weren't compatible. I didn't really like feel it. So I was like, you know who you should go out with? You should go out with my friend Lindsay. And they're now happily married, been married 3 years now.
It worked. Happy endings.
So there you go.
And she knows all the information, so yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd be honest with her also.
I would.
I think straight from the top.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then let her make her own decision.
She deserves that.
Yeah, you don't want to sacrifice your friendship for this.
No.
All right, good talk.
Jen?
Are you there?
Right. Yeah, no, I'm taking it all in. I kind of like agree with Alexa. Like, I think, I don't know. I don't think it's like, I think the benefits far outweigh the risk. Like,
Okay, you know you're being an asshole right now, right?
Well, technically, like, she's taking Abby's advice, so she's not being a. Someone took my advice.
I'm only taking the advice if who agrees with me. Okay.
All right, Jen. Good luck. Let us know how it goes. Okay.
Will do. Thank you.
All right. Bye bye.
The Burt Show.
All right, let's get into the email. Her husband's been asked to donate something at work. She thinks he should absolutely decline.
Over the years, I have been asked to contribute donations to some rather dodgy, quote unquote, causes at work. Usually, I have been able to say no in a nice way. Last night, my husband came home with a flyer created by one of his coworkers in which he's asking for donations so he can go climb Mount Everest. Am I the only one who thinks this is completely inappropriate to ask of your coworkers? This man and my husband do not see each other outside work and have no special bond. They don't even eat lunch together. I consider asking folks at work to buy Girl Scout cookies as the absolute maximum level of acceptable hitting up. My outrage was compounded when my husband declared his intention to give the climber $100 because he's a good guy and I have to work with him and feel obligated. After my fit, he agreed to reduce the amount to $50, but got mad at me for being mad. There's still tension in the air. Am I cruel and selfish, or is my husband losing it?
I've lost a little something here.
You okay?
What'd you say?
Yeah, I'm just trying to see exactly where the problem is.
She doesn't want to donate $50 to this rando coworker who's raising money so he can climb Mount Everest. It's not like he's asking donations for a children's hospital or for a pet shelter. Like, he just needs money so he can go pursue his passion and his goal of climbing Mount Everest. Mm-hmm. And her husband wants to give this dude $100, and she's like, "Dude, no, that's our money. Why would you give this?" Granted, it's a coworker, but still a rando, $100 so he can go climb Mount Everest when you can use that money elsewhere.
Yeah, the only thing ridiculous about this situation is the fact that there's still tension in the air. I just don't feel like this needed to be a big blow-up fight that was going to last longer than an hour. Now, to be fair, I think $100 and $50 mean very different things depending on, you know, what you're bringing in money-wise. So if money's really tight, I can completely understand why you would be stressed and tense about this, considering it's also the holidays and, you know, money seems to be flying out the savings account like no other right now. But I mean, if you guys are really rolling in it, I mean, why not throw him $50 to help him achieve his dreams?
So we get an email. It's like one of those all emails that they send, you know, in our office. Mm-hmm. It's somebody over on the other side of the building. So it's not like anybody in this studio that we know intimately that we would consider calling a friend. And they're asking for would you donate?
Yeah, it's a little bit like the emails or the DMs I'll get from time to time that people are asking me to like donate to or put them on the show to talk about their kids' traveling softball team. And in the overall scheme of things, when you should see some of the DMs we get with people that are really in hard times, you got to make that kind of decision, right? We haven't had them on yet,
yeah.
The traveling softball team girl. So in a case like this, though, I mean, it's $50 and it's this guy's dream. If you have the money, I'd give it to him. Your husband's a grown ass man.
I think it's the principle for her. This wouldn't be an argument for me. I wouldn't care that much. But if I were in her shoes, I would side with her simply because it just feels, I guess, weird. It's like, because it's a hobby in a sense, right? Like climbing Mount Everest. So someone is trying to utilize their coworkers to help fund their hobby. And I can understand why she feels like that's not a thing.
I'm telling you right now, my husband would put his foot down. He'd be like, absolutely not.
Really?
Yes.
I'd give him $50.
No.
I mean, it's like a bucket list dream item for this person.
Mm-hmm.
And
get a piggy bank.
The amount of effort that it goes into taking to climbing Mount Everest, I'd give $50 for sure.
You would probably end up funding his hobbies so long as you work there. He's going to keep coming back.
All right, Mo, it is time to turn your life around, dude. You brought this curse on yourself, and we needed to do something extreme to turn it around.
Yeah, so I owe the Christmas spirit an apology, apparently, because I made a video once saying that I just felt like Christmas is not always all it's cracked up to be. And I felt like I didn't feel the spirit like everyone else because I don't know if Christmas, if people are treating Christmas the right way anymore.
I also feel like you did this a while ago, and because you are such a huge Thanksgiving fan, you already had a bad taste in your mouth for Christmas because you felt Christmas had infringed on your favorite holiday.
I do. I feel like we defrost Mariah Carey way too early. Yeah. I don't think it's fair. There should be more Thanksgiving, time to celebrate Thanksgiving before it's time to celebrate Christmas. And I think in my love for Thanksgiving, I may have offended the Christmas spirit.
I think most people would agree with you that the meaning of Christmas is really kind of lost behind the superficiality of it now.
It's very materialistic.
Very materialistic. And, you know, when my kids were younger, I remember coming in here and doing the same song and dance every Monday when we would come back from vacation going, that just felt so empty. You know, like we didn't talk about Jesus once. Did we go to church? Did we not go to church? All I know is that I've got two kids that were on either side of the room opening their presents, barely even looking at them, ripping through them, going on to the next one. And it just felt so, I don't know, shallow to me, man. And I think, unfortunately, that's what Christmas has become in a lot of houses, you know?
Exactly that. And that ironically, that's the point that I was trying to make, is when you don't have kids and you become an adult, it's a little, you see Christmas a little bit differently. And it is more about the superficiality of it. And then a week later, when I had two Christmas parties where I was the only person that didn't get a gift, the superficiality of that made me realize that I needed to apologize to Christmas spirit, because I just felt left out.
But words kind of are just cheap. I mean, that's easy. You know, you need to make a sacrifice to the Christmas spirit in order to move on, is what the thinking was yesterday.
So, in the spirit of knowing that everybody needs a little help, I called on AI to give me a gift and help me write an apology rap.
Okay.
All right, so this is
the spirit of Christmas.
Little Scrooge featuring AI.
Yes, actually.
That's,
yes.
That's just you saying that you were too busy to write something yourself.
It's all about perspective.
You want to view it that way.
It's all about perspective, okay. Right? This season is about giving, uh-huh. And AI just gave me a little bit of assistance.
All right, little Scrooge. Okay.
Hey, that's all this is.
This is not about impressing us or impressing Burt's Show family listening. This is all up to the Christmas spirit.
Yeah, if the Christmas spirit is okay with you taking a shortcut to get your Christmas karma back, then so be it.
Everybody needs help. Okay. Santa has little helpers. We all need help.
Oh, that was your elf.
Right.
You just had like a little AI elf come in and assist you.
And Elf Katie, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Helped me find a perfect beat.
Okay.
We actually spent a lot of time going through a lot of beats to find the specific beat that we wanted to use. And the beat actually happened to be named Christmas Karma.
Oh,
so
shit.
It just felt like, it just felt right.
All right, you know what I think we should do here, just to add to this?
I'm very excited to hear what Little Scrooge has for us.
All right, here's what I think we should do. I think we should all turn our back on Mo like this is the voice. As he's rapping. All right, we turn around if we accept for the Christmas spirit the rap that he is performing.
Okay. Okay, the voice. But we have to make that noise that the chair makes. Like, you have to go whoosh.
Okay.
So people on the radio know that somebody's chair has turned around.
Right. Okay. So we are going to be representing the Christmas spirit. We're going to have our back towards you. And as we see fit, you might get us to turn around. Maybe you won't. If all of us don't, Christmas spirit does not accept your apology.
So first, the Christmas spirit turned his back on me.
Yeah.
Now all everybody in here too. Okay.
Yep, that right, little Scrooge. Uh-huh. All right, you're Blake Shelton.
All right.
I'm Kelly Clarkson. Abby, you're Gwen Stefani. And Cassie, you're Adam Levine.
All right.
I'll take it. He's hot. I'll take it.
All right. You want to turn back? Let's turn our back on him right now. All right.
All right, y'all. Let's do this. My apology to the Christmas spirit. Yeah. I'm sorry. Check. Gather round, it's Christmas time. So let me drop a rhyme. I messed up, made mistakes, it's a crime. To the ones I hurt, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to be a Grinch. I let the season of joy slip straight through my fingertips. I was wrapped up in my ego, tangled in my pride. Forgot the real meaning. I let it all slide. Whoosh. I should have been there, whoosh, spreading love in the chair. Instead, I caused pain, made it time for a fear. I'm dropping this apology rap under the mistletoe, hoping forgiveness comes in the form of snow. I messed whoosh up the vibe, turned up the trap. So here's my sorry rhyme, my apology rap. I know I let you down like a fallen Christmas tree, but I promise next year you'll see a better me. I'll be more present than Santa, no more drama. Putting love and understanding under Christmas rhymer. I'll decorate my heart with kindness and care. Wrap it up in empathy, deliver it with prayer. No more naughty, just nice like a treat. I'll make amends, restore joy from my feet. I'm dropping this apology rap under the mistletoe, hoping forgiveness comes in the form of snow.
Nice. Yes. Mo, will you please be part of my team?
Yes, yes, yes. Please, please, please accept my apology to the Christmas spirit.
All
Kristen, I noticed you was the last one to turn your chair around. I didn't know what I had to do to get you to believe in me.
I was waiting on empathy, baby.
Okay.
Well done.
Thank you.
I think you're clean.
All right.
You have been Christmas spirit baptized.
I feel so much better.
The Burt Show.